You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And it has begun. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is David Francoeur. I have my two co-hosts here in the studio, and introducing them in a moment. Our guest, actually, had to record the interview because his job does not allow him to be here on Mondays. And so you've heard from him before. We've had a recorded interview. We're going to be talking about him. But first, I must, by convention, and I'm sure there's divine law attached to this, to interview and introduce, rather, my co-host, Ed Skiba. Good to see you, brother.
Oh, good to see you, brother. Good to see anybody.
Well, yeah. Right.
It's another beautiful South Florida morning. I cannot believe it's the 10th of February already.
I know.
It proves my Charmin theory.
What's that?
Oh, boy.
Life is just like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes.
Well, okay. A lot of people may have resonated with that one.
People will not look at their Charmin toilet paper the same for
the same.
They're going to be switching brands.
Anything like that. No, thank you, Ed, for that. You've completely shifted how most of us now look at creation as a whole.
And toilet paper.
And toilet, yeah, that too. Well, Ann Limhoko, good to see you.
Good morning. And I, you know, you guys, I always like to say, this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
Last week when we were doing the introduction, I said it was Psalm 119. I go, you know, I've been in Psalm 119, but it's actually in Psalm 118.
Yep.
But
118.
I've been in Psalm 119 because of the word and the instructions
right.
and the law.
Yeah.
I've been in that Psalm, but it's 118 that has that verse.
Yep.
And cool.
Interesting, because I'm working through the Psalms right now as well.
Yeah, but I was having dinner with my parents last week, and my dad said that verse in prayer. I'm like, oh, we both love that verse. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen.
And I'm grateful to be alive.
And I think that whole thing, rejoicing in the Lord, is very important.
Yes.
It goes along with being grateful,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I know I have to work at it. I mean, not work at it, but... It's an awareness, the dawning awareness for me. It took a while.
Uh-huh.
Realize just how you can actually, we need to praise God.
We do
every day. Throughout the day.
When it's sunny, when it's raining.
Everything. We have a tendency.
Everything.
Our human tendency is to complain a lot. And some more than others. Some
We're
people
complaining about complaining people.
Really? Yeah. Stop complaining. Well, before we're going to go to an audio clip.
They call that oxymoron.
An audio clip of an interview that I had conducted with Phil Hardy. Now, the name some of you will remember because we had another interview with Phil maybe a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had met him through a mutual friend of ours who is, actually I'll mention his name, it's Barry Olsobrook, who is the CEO of Taken TV.
Amen.
And Barry is very much involved in that realm and working with a lot of creatives, people that write, people that... do music, and certainly in people in the video end of things, and knew Phil Hardy, and we had just started this program, and so I was looking for guests, and so he connected me with Phil. Phil came out here one Wednesday night. He and his wife, we sat in the studio, and I interviewed him, and we aired it, I think, a couple of weeks later.
Is Phil local, by any chance?
Phil is in Hope Sound, is where he lives.
Oh, okay.
And what's cool, if you remember that interview, listeners, then a lot of things have happened since then. He has a third book that's in the final process of getting edited before production.
Mm-hmm.
He's had two books out. The first two he wrote, Vengeance is Mine and Lone Oak. The James Harding is the main character.
Okay.
And these are great. These are Westerns, by the way, and I've read both of them. They're great books, very riveting, the storyline. But what's really cool about it, and we'll talk about it in the interview, is that he's writing real people stuff, mm-hmm. real life stuff. And the man in the process is struggling with his humanity, as we often do. Mm. So, but there are Christian themes in there, and you can see that that makes it a rich story. It's encouraging, and you can learn something by seeing how the James Harding character deals with what life throws at him, the struggles he had.
So that's fiction.
It's fiction.
Got it.
It's a Western.
Ah.
And now. And then you'll also, I believe we talked about in the upcoming clip, that the second book that was written, which actually is kind of a prequel called Lone Oak, that book Phil is working to produce into a movie.
Oh, and awesome.
There was an original screenplay that he had someone write based on the book. He's contacted several actors. They've had a couple table reads of the script. Obviously, scripts change, but he's got a crowdfunding model now to go forth to try to raise money to do more of the pre-production stuff. You do it in chunks.
Okay.
And then the final movie production is probably, we're looking at several $100,000 for a,
wow.
Yeah. And that's just the beginning, it could be a little more than that. But here's the deal. And we talk about, we're in about 20 seconds, we're going to go to the clip.
Okay.
But God is bringing believers out from the shadows. People who've been gifted, mm-hmm. Talents, skills, bringing them out into the public sphere. God is releasing them and is encouraging more people to come out in the shadows. And that's one of the things we hope Phil's interview will encourage you, listener. If you God wants you to write or draw art, something that will bless him, that will serve him and bring people to Christ or encourage their faith. Anyway, here's my interview with Phil Hardy. Well, welcome to, this is The Front Line, and particularly this is a recorded interview with a guy that I met, 2 years ago,
Phil? 2 years ago, I think it was, yeah.
Phil Hardy. Who's a local guy. He lives down in Hope Sound. I don't think I mind telling people where you are.
Not at all.
A lot of people know where you are. Phil was introduced to me by a mutual friend, Barry Alsobrook, who is Taken TV. Many of you have heard Barry in here. And because we were talking about Christian media and especially Christians that write fiction. And then Barry said, "Well, you've got to have Phil Hardy on your show."
No, and I really appreciate that, definitely. And yes, I do write fiction, and I think Christian fiction has got a place in Christian media. It really does.
Amen. Especially today, I think today's a whole new time. A lot of things are changing for the better. I think we've gone through a lot of dark period in our nation, in the culture. And people are turning more to, if not directly to Christian media, but they're just hungry for stories that aren't cluttered with gratuitous sex and gratuitous violence as well, and bad language.
That's very true. I do find, though, that a lot of people that look at Christian media, they think that it is supposed to be just soft powder puff stuff.
Right.
And that's not life. A matter of fact, if you read the Bible, that's not in the Bible. David was a man's man.
Yes, he was.
So was a lot of the other people in there. So let's think about Joshua and Caleb. Caleb at 80 years old, give me the mountains. That's a man.
That's amen. And you're right. There's real life in the Bible. And I think many people are coming to really be aware of that, mm-hmm. as they themselves are encouraged to actually get into the Word, and not so much rest on their imaginings of what's in the Bible, but because the Bible has great revelation about what it means to be a human being and what it means to be a child of God and how important it is to be a child of God. And what we're going to do today, many of you who've been following WCNO and all of our live programs, and especially The Front Line, have heard Phil's Phil's interviews, and so he's not, for some of you, he's not a stranger, but some of you he is. So I want to start by asking you, Phil, how did you get into writing, per se, and especially, because I know as a Christian man, you would be writing Christian, faith-based material, but Westerns, now I love Westerns. A lot of people love Westerns, and the genre is growing again.
That is.
Interest in it is. But so how did you get started in that way?
Well, believe it or not, I started writing when I was in the service. I was stationed in Alaska, and no disrespect to Florida, but Alaska is the absolute most beautiful state in this nation. I've been in every one of them except for Hawaii. Mm. But at that point in time, there was no way of really, you know, we didn't have cell phones. I couldn't take a picture and send it home. So the only way I had of telling people what I was seeing was to actually write it on paper and tell people about the eagles and feeding them while you're on the ships and stuff like that. So that was where I got started. But as far as the genre, the Westerns, my dad was my hero. Mm. Dad was my hero, and dads out there, you should be the heroes to your sons. But
amen.
My dad was my hero, and we would watch Westerns together. And I'm talking, you know, the old Westerns, Have Gun, Will Travel, anything with John Wayne in it, obviously. those types of shows were the shows we watched together. And so when I started writing, the Western genre was the natural thing for me to write. Mm-hmm. I grew up reading Louis L'Amour and Zane Grey and those guys. Yeah. I mean, I will never claim to be Louis L'Amour. he is Western literature. But that was what I grew up reading. So that was when I started. That was my genre.
Well, and I can see how you would normally move into something that you relate to. And in a way, they tell people who want to write, well, write about what you know. But some things what we know, we've lived. But there are other things we know because we become very familiar with that genre. We become even more than familiar is that it kind of influences parts of our life in a good way. You know, the essentials of, you know, coming out of Westerns. I always thought, for instance, my wife was the Western fan, by the way, when we got married.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't really, I liked watching TV Westerns and the movies, but I didn't read, but she was a Louis L'Amour fan. She probably read every book he wrote at least once. Which surprised me, but
that's about 300 books.
she's very literate, thank God. But some of the things that she spoke about that she enjoyed in the genre, in the character of the writing, in the storylines, I began to understand these are very appealing characteristics. If you're a person that wants to live a good and honorable life.
Yeah, I agree. It's Louis L'Amour's main characters were men of integrity. Mm-hmm. And I think as Christians, we need to be men of integrity. I mean,
amen.
Integrity is something that Jesus emphasized. You know, the let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Don't monkey around with it. And I think the Western genre pushes that.
Yes.
Those main characters do that. I hope my main character does as well.
Well, I've read both books, like I told you, and I can agree with you that James Harding is the main character. The first book is Vengeance is Mine. And then a year or so later, maybe a couple of years later, the next book, Lone Oak, came out. And I want you to, and then you've got another book in editing right now.
Right. And
that
one's called Fool's Gold, and I'm sure that there will be a surprise ending for everybody on that. But believe it or not, actually, Lone Oak was written first. However, Vengeance is Mine takes place first. There were some holes in Lone Oak that needed to be filled in, so I started to fill them in with Vengeance is Mine. So,
okay, so although Vengeance is Mine, it wasn't, was it printed first?
No, Lone Oak was printed first, and then Vengeance.
So it's
is
like
later.
A prequel.
Correct.
Okay, so Lone Oak came out first, but I read them in the reverse order then, because I read Vengeance is Mine first.
And that does take place first.
So, right, and so it gives perfect. You the backstory to what happened to James Harding, and we our listeners may not, we need to hold the detail, but I think it would be helpful to give a thumbnail sketch of both books as it pertains to James Harding, his genesis, if you will, and what he went through, the person he became before Christ, how the kind of life he lived, and then we'll see a transformation in Lone Oak, because now he's a Christian man, but he's still living kind of under a cloud, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? Would you, that be a correct?
Very, very, very accurate description there.
Okay.
So James Harding, in the first story, which is Vengeance Is Mine, he is a young man, late teens, and his family is killed by some criminals, obviously. Yeah. And he himself is left for dead. Mm. He's left there, and the only thing going through his mind when he finally recovers physically is vengeance. Mm-hmm. Thus the title, Vengeance Is Mine. Mm-hmm. He left a little bit out of some of the verses, saith the Lord, I think was the part he left out.
Yeah, right, right, so, exactly.
But Vengeance Is Mine follows him down that trail where his heart grows harder and harder and harder. And I'm not going to give away too much, but there is a point in time where he figures out that vengeance is not a dish best served cold. Mm. It's a dish best not served at all.
Amen.
So I'll leave it at that. But Lone Oak takes place about 12 years later. And at that point in time, he's got that cloud over his head. He still doesn't feel at home, no matter where he is. And he rides into this town of Lone Oak, still dealing with that past, still dealing with the violence and bloodshed that was part of his past. And he runs into this young lady named Elizabeth, and she is from the East originally. She's inherited a ranch, and he finds himself drawn to her and drawn to trying to help her to keep the ranch that she really loves. So it's that thing, and at the end of the story, he's got to decide, am I worthy of redemption? Am I worthy of love, or am I condemned to live the past that I've had for the rest of my life? So we'll leave it there as far mm-hmm. as that goes, but that's kind of the synopsis there of the two books together. Fool's Gold is just an in-between story between Vengeance Is Mine and Lone Oak, so.
Okay, so, and I like the fact that, you know, we can, some people are kind of rooted in, and maybe my OCD, I'm not claiming it, but I do struggle with it, is I like to start in the beginning, work my way through till the end, you know. And but it's also important that we can go back and forth in terms of a character's timeline. Oh, yes. And that's kind of what you're doing with us. In Fool's Gold, you say, is between the first book and what's now the second book.
Correct. Yep. There's still some story left in between those two mm-hmm. books. And so Fool's Gold is part of that story. Now, as a lot of people think, okay, it's a sequel, so you have to read them. You have to read them in order, but you don't necessarily have to do that because each book is a standalone story.
That's right, it is.
And so I tried to do that so people don't have to read each book just in case, hey, I want to read Lone Oak first. I want to read Vengeance Is Mine first.
Right.
You're free to do that.
The way you've done it, Phil, is that you write enough of into the James Harding character, bringing in his experiences, so we get an idea of where he came from. And that's, I'm speaking of Lone Oak now. You can read Lone Oak first and get an idea that this guy had a pretty tragic past.
Yes, and when I wrote Lone Oak, I was actually bored.
Okay. Hey, not a bad reason to start writing.
Well, I worked third shift at a residential facility, and when you got done cleaning the house and doing prep for the next day, there were some things you could do. You could read, mm-hmm. you could play board games, you could play cards. Well, one night there wasn't anything to read, so I figured I was going to go ahead and write a story. It was just the first chapter of Lone Oak, but I thought, what would I want to read? And that was what I wrote. So.
Well, that's a great way of using time like that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we like to do when we have a person like you on the air with us, sharing your ministry of writing, is encouraging other people. We have listeners that I think are perched on the brink of making a decision about a ministry, and it's a ministry what you do, no question about it, about launching into a ministry like that, creative ministry, where God will use you to bring stories to life, characters to life, that will have some real life experience in there that will attract the attention of the reader and do some teaching.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good thing. Now, if somebody is out there and they're thinking about that, you're going to want to look at it. Is it something I'm going to want to read? Is it something I would want to read? Is it something I would want to, in the film area, is it something I would want to watch?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something I'd want my kids to watch? Is it something I'd want grandma to watch? So those are some things there that go along with it. So, and people wonder about that. They think everything has to be nonfiction. Well, Jesus told parables. Parables are stories, and the stories were told in order to teach a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And so using that ministry, it helps you to be able to tell the stories with a lesson involved in that story. It doesn't have to be obvious, but when somebody reads it, they can go, aha, that's real life. Aha, that helps.
Now, at this point, I'm just going to throw this out, Phil. I don't expect you to have thought about this.
Okay.
So, listener, I'm not setting Phil up here, but having read both books myself, I could see how, like a church, like taking the teens, and could have them read the books and then have a study guide to, as the book develops, having questions that tie the book back to biblical principles.
Yeah, and it's actually not something I had thought about. Actually, I try not to think very often. I get a headache when I do that.
I can understand that.
But seriously, no, it is. And I think Ventress's mind would be a very good one for that, because that would put in mind, for young people especially, what's a proper response to something like that? What's a proper response to something along those lines? Is it to want revenge? In our own humanity, we want revenge.
Right.
Is that godly? No. We're to turn it over to Him. So, yes, that would be something I hadn't ever thought about, doing a study guide. But, yes, if a church wants to do that and make use of that, I think it would be a great thing to learn.
It's the reason that comes to me is that I like the fact that this is a book that, say, teens could read, or even adults. I mean, it could be an adult Bible study, but that they can read it. And, yeah, there's some gunplay in there because this is a Western.
Yep.
Some people get shot.
Yes.
What Phil does not do, he doesn't over-describe the violence. He doesn't. In other words, he doesn't. It's not gratuitous violence. He's not getting the reader to get down into looking within, you know, blood pumping out of holes and all. I mean, it just happens, and it's part of life, and it's part of the scenarios that the book presents. But it's what the characters do in response to that, and the biblical principles that are connected that you're writing about. That's what I think is critical.
Yeah, I would agree. And I tried not to make things, as you said, gratuitous.
Yeah.
Yes, they're Westerns. Yes, there are fist fights. There are gunfights. That's part of the Western genre. But I tried to make it not too bloody, not too gory, because I don't think that's a necessity. I eliminated foul language because even Louis L'Amour said, if I've got a good story, I don't need it. And if I have to use it, I don't have a good story.
The only foul language in there is you're talking about a chicken. Sorry. Different way of spelling foul. I just had to throw that in, a little humorous aside here. But, well, at this point, and I want to, let's just tell people how they can get a hold of these books.
Oh, sure. So the books are available in the normal places, Amazon, those types of places. Barnes & Noble, I do recommend going there. But if somebody wants to get a signed copy in time for Christmas, you can actually go to our website, which is authorphilhardy.com. Phil is spelled P-H-I-L. So authorphilhardy.com, and you can order them right there. We take credit cards over the, you know, on the website, and we can get those mailed out to you. Just let me know how you want that made out, and I'll be happy to do that.
That's great. And I want to again say, and by the way, we're not doing an infomercial for Phil. You know, we're promoting ministry here, and I am personally so excited to see what Phil has done, how God has blessed him in the writing of these books, that if you are someone that enjoys reading, you enjoy fiction, good fiction, and you enjoy the Western genre especially, then these two books are books you need to have in your library. You need to be able to read them and pass them on. And so I'm personally invested in encouraging people to participate in your ministry, Phil, and to bless it. Now, what I want to talk to about with you now is, let's move on to Lone Oak again, because you have had a desire in your heart to bring that book more to life through film.
Correct, yes.
And talk about how that came about, what you're doing now to try to get that off the ground.
Okay. Well, we actually had several people who had told me, hey, this is a great book, but it would really make a great movie. Mm. Well, a few years down the road, I finally thought, you know what, I'm going to see what is involved in getting this going. I hired somebody to convert the story to a screenplay. Mm-hmm. Those are two completely different writing styles and two completely different ways of doing something along those lines. So I did get involved or get a hold of somebody. They got that all switched over to a screenplay. I've gotten a hold of a couple of producers and got one who was very interested in the story. But what we're working on doing now, obviously you can't make a movie without money. I wish we could, but we can't. So we're working on raising the funds for that. And the other thing we've been doing is we've been going through the script and cutting back some different places, adding some things, rearranging it and changing it around a little bit. So it's a little bit closer to what the book is. So we've been doing that. Actually have a young lady who is a Christian actress who is going to be doing a table read for us in the first part of December. So it may be before this interview airs. I'm not sure. But they're going to be doing a table reading. And what that is they actually have actors and actresses reading each of those parts, sitting around a table to kind of get the timing down, make sure how it looks and how it sounds. So that's what they're doing there on that. So those are some of the things that we're doing right now.
Wow. And also, let's talk turkey here, because as you said, it costs money to produce a movie. And I'd like for our listeners to be interested in pursuing, just seeing what more that goes on in terms of production and what your needs are. So is there a website, say, that people can go to get more information on this?
Yeah, loneoakproductions.net is our website dealing with the film. You can also give me a call or email me, phil@loneoakproductions.net. And I'd be glad to talk to people. We are looking for people who want to invest as an equity investor. So when it does make money, they'll get money back with interest. So we are looking at that. We also have others who have just donated. They wanted to get involved somehow, and they've heard the stories, they've read the stories, and they said, yeah, we think this would be a great story, so we want to help. So we can definitely ready to take some help there as well.
And this is really a season now where the door is open for people to get involved and to help make this movie a reality.
Yes.
And people can always pray, and I think if you have a little room in your prayer list for Phil and for the making of the movie, the getting this Christian story out in the theaters, would be a tremendous ministry, an enablement for Phil and his ministry, what he's doing.
And I think a lot of people think of the theatrical releases, which are fantastic, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of streaming platforms as well.
Yeah.
So the distribution end of it is something that we've been working on. I have been working with some people and talked to some people who most of your listeners would recognize the name, but I'm not going to mention it because mm-hmm. it's, we haven't signed any contracts, so I don't
right,
want to do
understood.
That.
Right, understood. Yeah, for sure.
So that's one of the things there. But a lot of people, too, with film, a lot of people will complain about Hollywood, and believe you me, there is a lot to complain about there. But that's as far as they go. Mm-hmm. We've tried to go a little step beyond that. Okay, I don't like what's coming out of Hollywood. What can I do about it? So what I've done about it is I've changed that book over into a screenplay. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much, Claire Hutchinson, for helping with that. So we've made that changeover to the screenplay, and we would love to see that movie actually out in theaters or on streaming platforms so people can watch a good, solid Western, a faith-based story that they can enjoy mm-hmm. and that they can walk away and not feel dirty at the end.
Amen. And that's a tremendous desire to have met, and more and more, we're seeing people with vision, people with faith, people producing faith-based films and writing, of course, faith-based material. I love to see that it's increasing. And that tells me that God is in this. I mean, this is what he wants to see. We're now in a season when the Word of God is being presented much more forcefully, much more prolifically. And media, whatever your medium is, God's going to use those who are anointed, who are gifted, who are called to do that. And, of course, you're one of those people. And I also believe because of that, and again, I want to get back to the listeners to encourage you to pray about what God may be saying to you, A, to support Christian media more, and B, how he might be calling you to support Phil in the production of this movie. And we're supporting Phil. We think a lot of what God's doing through him, and this part of our job is to lift up ministry in the church. And this is why you're with us today, Phil, and sharing what God put on your heart and what you've done. This is not... You're not still sitting there saying, well, I mean, this is what I think God wants me to do. You've done stuff.
Well, I've definitely tried.
Yeah.
But I think it's God who's done it.
Well, God has done it through you. That's what I meant to say. But you took. At some point, you got to say yes to God.
Yeah. What would have happened if Samuel had never said, here am I?
Yeah, right. So, yeah, right.
You know?
Yes.
So, yeah, so you have to do that. And I think one of the things you've mentioned a couple of times, and before anybody jumps on board, I'd love everybody to jump on board, but before they do that, I want them to actually pray about it. Yeah. Is this something that God would have me do?
Yeah.
If so, jump on board. We're more than happy. If he says no, I want you to do something else, then do what he says. Don't do what I want. Do what he says.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's a good thing for everybody. I just like some people to finally, when they pray, be willing to do what God tells them to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of folks doing that, but there's some folks that they're just stopping short. You know, and here we're to encourage the body of Christ to get active again.
I think that's a big thing. There's the comic strip that goes around that the God doesn't want you to pray for a hole while you're leaning on the shovel.
I love that. I love that. Yes. Well, that's kind of what I've been trying to get across, you know, and by featuring someone like yourself, Phil, is for people to say, hey, well, this is a guy that God told him to do something and he did it. Mm-hmm. And he's still doing it.
Still doing it. And not perfectly by any stretch of anybody's imagination. But I'm working on it and trying to keep going with that. And I have a wonderful bride who's very encouraging.
Yes.
With those things. She's been my greatest critic and my greatest cheerleader And so if you don't mind, I'm going to give a shout out to my beautiful bride, Ruth. So.
By all means, yes. In fact, I sort of thought she'd be with you tonight.
She was doing some things at home and wasn't able to make it this evening. So she's gonna be trying to make it to church this evening.
Cool. Well, give her my warm regards.
I shall, definitely.
And from the station, I can speak on behalf of WCNO. I know she's been a blessed helpmeet.
Yes.
In the truest sense of the word for you. And you know, let's face it, if we have any of us that makes any forward movement for a guy and we're married to a great woman, we got to give them more credit than they.
Well, they put up with us.
They put up with us. So, oh my gosh. Isn't that the truth?
So,
our time, we've got a few more minutes, Phil. And I guess I just, you know, I've asked you all the questions that I've thought to ask. But, What do you want to say to our listeners that you believe is important for them to hear right now?
Well, I think one of the things that I want to tell all the listeners is, like I said earlier, follow what God's leading you to do. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to step out there. But on the other hand, don't jump out there until it's the way he's leading.
Amen.
Don't get ahead of him. Don't fall behind him. Follow along right alongside him. He will guide you. So that's one of the things there. One of the other things is I see this in a lot of the Christian film projects and stuff along those lines, not knocking them, but a lot of them are very soft, kind of Hallmarkish, which is a great genre.
Right. Understood.
But a lot of people are almost afraid to step out there with real life type of Christian literature, Christian media.
Yeah.
And life is messy. So it's not all pretty. It's not. And just remember, roses have thorns.
Amen. So, yes.
So
I think that's a good thing to as an encouragement to people. I suspect because we broadcast into a population base of about 7.5 million people. And we don't know how many, and they're probably not all listening, but a good percentage of them are. And in that group, I know there are people that God has been nurturing them, as he nurtured you, Phil, to come to the point of trusting him, to step out in faith into a ministry expression that is both wonderfully exciting and also very scary.
It definitely is.
Because there's a risk dimension to true ministry. That's where we trust God, right? And you have trusted God. You have written 2 books, very successful, wonderful stories. You're working on the movie. And then you've got a 3rd book in process, in the editing process. So you're you're not too far away from printing the 3rd book and getting it out there.
Getting close, yeah. Should be hopefully within the next 6 months.
But you're at no point in the way, and along the way, in my knowing you, Phil, and in all the interviews I've done with you, do I get the idea that your ego is involved in this? I mean, you know what I'm in the sense that you're. You remain the humble guy I first met several years ago, and a guy who's constantly trusting God, looking to him for guidance, and believing that he's going to move you where he wants you to be, even when he's finally moving you, the journey is maybe not entirely comfortable because there's some unknowns there.
There's always some unknowns.
Yeah.
And you had asked earlier about something with people who are right on the edge and thinking about getting involved.
Yeah.
One thing I should have mentioned about that is grow a thick skin. There's going to be critics.
Yeah.
Just know what it is that God is leading you to do and follow in those footsteps. Now, sometimes somebody's going to give you some advice, and it might hurt. But if it's honest, listen.
Yeah.
If it's just they don't like you, don't worry about it. But if it's honest criticism, if it's honest feedback, listen and make those corrections.
Exactly. And that advice pertains to every time we make a commitment in service to the Lord when we're stepping out into the what we think is the unknown. And we're going to meet people, and they're not, some are going to love what we're doing, and some are not going to love what we're doing.
And that's very true.
But we do, I think it's, and it's true of, when you were saying that, I was thinking that my bulk of my ministry has been pastoral. We're serving church, we're serving God in the churches, and that's not an easy ride either.
No.
I'm not complaining, I'm just saying it's been, talk about real life. You know, behind the scenes, it can be as bloody and as scary as any other thing that we do. But if it were not for the Lord, and if it were not for loving people giving me honest, constructive criticism, I would not have been able to improve what I have done in ministry.
That's very true. And I think when we look back in the Proverbs, it says that in the multitude of counselors is wisdom.
Amen.
So, weed it out, go through it, and listen and pay attention, and that wisdom will shine through.
Amen. Amen. And that's a good solid bit of wisdom for everybody. You know, it applies no matter what your area of ministry, your giftedness is.
Very true. And it's not my wisdom, it's God's.
Amen. It came right out of the Proverbs.
Right. and I totally agree. And we just happen to be instruments to express that, but it does come from God.
Yes.
Time's almost up, Phil, and I want to make sure that some people may have just picked up the last 10 minutes listening to this program. So give us again a way of finding out about your two books, ordering them, finding out about the Lone Oak Productions, and how they can get involved in maybe helping you make the movie.
Sure. Not a problem there. The books are available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can also go to our website, authorphilhardy.com, author like a writer. Mm-hmm. Phil, P-H-I-L, Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y.com. You can order the books there. The pricing includes shipping anywhere in the lower 48.
Okay.
You can do that. You can order, like I say, from Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I do not have ebooks available on my website. Those are the places you'll get the ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you could get involved there. As far as the film, we actually have a website set up where we're working on that. It's called loneoakproductions.net. And you can go there, find out a little bit more about the film project. From there, you can email me. It also has other contact information. And we'd be glad to talk to you about that, show you our presentation, go over those things. We're looking for people who may want to get involved as far as equity investors, mm-hmm. Somebody who's investing and looking at hopefully making a profit. There's all other ways where people could get involved through donations, things along those lines. We do have some perks for them. So some different things along those lines.
Is there just one of the perks? Because I've been on your website several times. Is there still a part in the movie if you donate a certain amount?
Yes, that is still available. And we are, you have to provide your way to the set. But,
right, yeah.
yes, there is that availability. So somebody can be, an extra in the film.
Mm-hmm.
We may even have some extra speaking parts for people along those lines. One of the other perks is some of the items that we'll be using on set will be available for folks. And so for certain donation amounts, we did have Elizabeth's picnic basket. However, somebody already claimed that. So.
Yeah, well, I remember reading about that. Didn't last long, did it?
No, it did not.
Now, if you're thinking, what is Elizabeth's picnic basket? Well, you got to get the book, Lone Oak.
Yeah, and then we'll find out.
If you're going to get the book, Lone Oak, you might as well go ahead and get Vengeance is Mine, so you have an understanding of the James Harding character.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Phil, I just so amazed always that God works through you and the giftings that you have. I'm delighted that we could be together to get this interview. I know my co-host, when the show is live, before and after this interview, we're going to have some commentary, and what you said is going to generate some of that. And we want to keep up with what's happening. You know, as when the movie becomes a reality, when you start filming, want to know about that. When Fool's Gold comes out, we want to be able to talk about that. So we're not done with you, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I appreciate that.
And as always, it is a pleasure, Phil. But we've got to go, so I just want to thank you for coming and being a part of this. God bless you. You're an inspiration because of your faithfulness and how God moves through you. You're an inspiration to all those other folk that are perched on the brink of taking a risky mission that God is calling them to, knowing that because it's God, He's going to guarantee their success.
That's true. And just remember, walking across the street is a risky business. So
exactly right.
So I want to thank you very much for having me back, David. It has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a great thrill. This won't be your last time.
All right.
Okay. And we'll be getting back now to our live broadcast. And by golly, we're back to the live broadcast. At least I'm live.
We're all still here.
And Ed and Ann are live.
I'm as live as I can be at my age.
Yeah.
I got a quick kidding about that. God's challenged me on that. He said, quit talking about your age.
Yeah.
You know, I hear that.
Yes.
My philosophy used to be, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
Oh, that's a very interesting question.
Isn't that an interesting concept?
I'm afraid to answer that. Actually.
Yeah, me too. I've got physiological dyslexia. I've got an 81-year-old body with an 18-year-old mind.
Well, okay. Golly, we're gonna have to pray about that later, Ed. Anyway, so welcome back. That was a great interview with Phil, and he's a neat brother. And you know what? We were gonna pivot off of that. Mm-hmm. That interview is just to talk about God is raising up mm-hmm. people, and I'm going to say, and really, that Phil is a great example, because you know there was early on there was no clue that he had that he was going to become a published author, mm-hmm. and that one of his books would be working toward being produced as a movie. You know, and that's a big vision, right? That's
yeah.
But God Amen. Doesn't give us tiny visions.
No.
So while we're talking about this, and I'm asking the listeners, maybe God has got you thinking about doing something for Him that's kind of like what Phil is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's creative and it's edgy, and maybe it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, but like Phil, you know, he stepped out in faith at some point. And I don't care what God's got you doing, mm-hmm. When it starts as a desire of your heart, because all ministry yeah. starts that way. But then you begin to entertain that and open up to it, pray about yeah. it.
The scripture speaks over and over again about our calling.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in fact, it's very coincidental, which you know what a coincidence is, set of circumstances completely arranged by the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
In which he chooses to remain anonymous. Anyway, yesterday, I preached on calling at my church.
Wow.
And you were talking about that today. And I hope some of my congregation members are listening in now to understand that this is a thread that runs throughout Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a calling from God.
Absolutely.
And it may not be a great big fancy thing, but it may be something that you don't want to do. But usually that means you're supposed to.
And you know what I always say is, if the calling is so big that you can't do it on your own, then that you know it's from the Lord.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because it has to be so big that the only way it can be accomplished is if the Lord is the one who is Absolutely. Making that happen.
Yep.
So,
well, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I'm excited to see. I believe, and I, in the position I'm in right now here at the radio station, God has given me a tremendous view mm-hmm. of what's going on in the church at large. You know, I feel like, you know, ever climbed a mountain? I'm not a mountain climber, by the way, by any means. But let's say that we've gone several times to the Smoky Mountain National Park, you uh-huh. know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's some little, they're big hills, okay? But you climb them and get up to the what you call the summit, but you can see, you know, for miles. It's quite amazing. And I correlate that with serving the Lord, following him. And when Jesus will say to you, you know, okay, I want you to do this. You know, there, it's like, okay, it's a climb. You know, there's an effort involved. We have to make it. But God always blesses us with the ability to achieve mm-hmm. what he's calling us to do. Mm-hmm. As scary as it is in the beginning, because like with Phil, he had the basic gifts. Mm-hmm. God gave them those gifts. Mm-hmm. And at some point, he then the call was issued to exercise those gifts and step out in faith. Trust God.
I was going to say, it's all about faith.
It's all about faith.
Yeah.
So how many listeners are kind of, okay, this thing, this Phil story kind of got me going.
Yeah. You know, I just looked something up. You saw me playing with my phone here. I couldn't remember the author's name. I read a book years ago that was named Peak to Peak.
Peak to Peak.
P-E-A-K uh-huh. to P-E-E-K.
Huh. Oh,
and it was by Robert Schuller. You get to the top of a mountain to get a peak at the next peak that you're going to climb to get a peak at the next peak.
Okay.
I like
all right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Robert Schuller is the one that wrote it. That's what I was looking up. But it really made me understand more about God's calling in my life and, mm-hmm. and made me understand that maybe what he's calling me to at this moment isn't the ultimate goal.
Yes, but you're on the way.
There is an ultimate goal. And you know what the other big important thing I realized reading through Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Our calling is not about us.
No. Mm-mm.
It's about who we reach, who God intends to reach through us.
Yes.
And it's all to display glory, you know, for the glory of the Lord. It has nothing to do with us.
Amen.
So.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
And when you think of the myriad ways that God has to bring his truth into the lives of the people, you know, you look at the ministries, the standard ones, right? Preaching, teaching, mm-hmm. music ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, in places we, again, getting back to authorship, there are an increasing number of authors out there who are Christians or believers, and they're incorporating their faith into the content mm-hmm. of what they're writing.
Absolutely.
And we had another guy with us. He's an emergency room doctor in Irmo, South Carolina.
John, that's right.
John Galt Robinson.
Yep.
In fact,
oh, yeah. Oh, I read his books.
I hope to have him here in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a fifth book in the first series he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He's now written another book in the second series, another cold character series, with a new publisher, by the way.
Yep.
He's going to have more traction, I think.
Yep.
And he's written that, and plus he's provided a story outline for this sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's a guy like Phil. I mean, he's emergency room doc, and he's really good at that.
You know, you look at authors, you think some little skinny guy with glasses sitting in a dark room in front of a typewriter.
Yeah, right.
You know, John, the mm-hmm. guy we're talking mm-hmm. about.
He's a triathlete.
Robinson is a big strapping.
Yeah.
PT nut, you know, physical training nut.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And, I mean, he's a man's man.
Yep.
And he writes like a man's man. I've read all of his books.
He uses his medical knowledge in the books.
Amen. In the books.
Yes.
But his Christianity comes through
in the
storylines, the theme, how the characters respond.
Yep. Right.
But it's not, again, it's not Pollyanna.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Exactly.
It's hard life stuff.
But they're good books.
And so, again, God is raising up people to do this. And what's happening is, I literally love this, because God's people are invading areas that the people that weren't God's people have been working for the longest time and bringing darkness. You know, these people are not God people.
And we should be invading all areas.
Yes, Amen. We should.
Do you know what I mean? We are the light of the world. If we're not in what, media, business, school, education, all these areas, and how are we a light?
This separation of church and state is so wrong.
It's a lie.
It was such a lie.
The devil's lie.
From the liberal perspective
in
this
country. Because it's not ever in the Constitution.
Yep. No.
And so it's, but they, you know, people, you say a lie long enough, people think it's
then
a
they
truth.
Believe it, and then they just keep repeating
it. The liar
it.
Believes it after a while.
So I'm excited to see what's happening. We're going to see more and more of this.
Yeah.
And it's likely one of our listeners listening in today, this may have been the thing that just moved them off of their fence post.
Good.
You know, to jump into that new pasture that God wants them to be in to develop mm-hmm. the gifts he's given them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those true gifts, you know, the talents, skills, mm-hmm. they come from God.
Amen.
And he's
Amen.
Given them to us mm-hmm. for specific purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have to be out in the marketplace.
Yes, we have
to
be.
We can't be just sitting at home. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, like start that podcast. If the Lord's prodding you to start a podcast, write a book, compose a song.
Yep. A poem?
I don't know, anything.
Yeah. A lot of creative people say, well, I'm not creative. Well, listen, everybody, I believe, has creative skills.
Yeah.
I love to cartoon. I've been doing cartoons since I was 11 years old. And... in fact, I started cartooning because my mom and dad didn't have a great marriage, and I would draw them cartoons after an argument
to kind of
get some laughter going.
Yeah.
So, but that was, I look back on that and say that was a gift. I've used it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never made any money, and it wasn't ever intended to be a lucrative endeavor. It was intended to be a way of ministering to people by bringing laughter mm-hmm. to a dark situation.
Yeah.
And I continue to do that. I thank God for it.
Amen.
Listener, maybe you've never thought you're as being a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We are made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we read about God in the very beginning in the book of Genesis? He creates.
Mm-hmm.
The
earth, he created everything. Everything.
And we are made in that image.
Mm-hmm.
We all have creative gifts. What are they? And then how does God want us to use them? You'd be amazed if you would just be intimate with God and mm-hmm. say, okay, I'm ready.
Ask the
I'm
Holy
tired
Spirit.
Of hiding. Ask the
what
Holy
would you
Spirit.
Like me to do? And then if you feel a prodding and a passion with rises up with this is convicting to me because I feel like I need to move in some things the Lord's telling me.
I can't remember. I wish I could remember chapter and verse. I've had that trouble. Lord, help me with that. But yesterday I read that he doesn't necessarily call the famous and the rich and the in fact, he seldom calls them.
Mm-hmm.
He always calls the common people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Even evil people. Evil people are called by God mm-hmm. to be very good examples of bad examples.
Mm.
Yeah, that's very true.
You see some kings in the Bible that the Lord used for his purposes, they're evil kings.
He uses the foolish things of the world to confound
the
wise.
Yeah.
Well, and you look at Pharaoh, God hardened his heart.
For a reason.
The purpose was finally to get the Israelites free.
Read the Old Testament.
You got to read the whole book of Exodus. Era.
Judas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
If it had not been for Judas, mm-hmm. salvation wouldn't have happened.
Jesus said something like that.
Yeah.
When he was talking in Matthew, who I'm reading now, actually,
mm-hmm.
about, basically my paraphrase when he talks about Judas is, had to happen to fulfill the scriptures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Concerning the Messiah.
Yeah.
But you're right. And here's a guy like Phil and John Robinson and other people, you know, that nobody knows your name right now, but God does. And God doesn't just know your name. He knows when you say intimately who you are.
Yes.
And that also incorporates what you can do for God.
Amen.
Your particular skills and gifts, and when coupled with the passion in your heart, God can do amazing things using you.
Amen.
And the Bible says our life is not our own.
Yeah,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Exactly.
That's right.
So we dedicate it to the Lord. And I feel like that's the true enjoyment, fulfillment, is when you're walking in God's will.
Oh, absolutely.
Because even if you're a Christian and you could not be walking, and when you're a Christian, sometimes mm-hmm. you don't even have, you're not walking in the will of the Lord.
Right.
And you have to be like, Lord, what is your will for my life?
So, and when you find out, it'll be amazing.
It will be amazing.
Yeah. You guys know that I've got a lot of medical issues because of my age. I said I wasn't going to bring that up a lot. But
mm-hmm.
but when I get into conversations like this, and when I get into pulpit, I feel like I'm 18 again.
Yeah. Because that's when the joy of the Lord comes into me.
What your gifts are.
Yeah, and he just...
And he's your strength.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
one of the things
we're going to lose is time. Uh-huh. Time is very precious, but we're almost out of it. So thank you, listeners. Next week, we're going to have a local pastor here who's also a programmer here at WCNO. He's got a great story.
Awesome.
He's a loving man of God, and you're going to really enjoy this program. And so until next week,
thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And listen to God. Do what he says,
yes,
and he'll make sure that you get to do it right.
And he will provide everything needed.